Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. I hope everyone is doing well. I know there's a virus going around and a lot of chaotic things happening in our world, and holiday season is here, so it's a lot to deal with. You're going to hear little Momo. She's over here crying. For those of you who don't know, Mo is my 15-year-old Shih Tzu, and she's in pain, and we're actually waiting for a pharmacy delivery, which is coming from out of town, for a special lotion for her that has pain medication in it. She doesn't do well taking medicine by mouth, but she and I both are deal with a lot of arthritis in our bodies, and so she's been walking pretty stiff lately, her hips and her rear legs, and the constant rain has contributed to her discomfort and mine, but we're hanging in there. But if I do have an interruption, it will be the pharmacy, and I have to go to the door to get the medicine. But anyway, I hope everyone is doing well. A couple of things I wanted to say. Post office, okay. Number one, if you need stamps, or even if you don't need them, get them this week or by next week. Price of stamps will be going up in January, which is just, 2 weeks away. And the other thing they were talking about local and national news, how mailboxes are being broken open and people's mail being taken out. So their advice is that if your mail comes to a mailbox, be sure you do not leave your mail in the mailbox overnight. Retrieve your mail before nightfall, and hopefully that, you won't miss any of your mail. Okay. What else did I want to say before I start this poetry? I wanted to say, Brittany Griner, I'm sure you know, is free and she's home. But what I was noticing as they talk about her in the news, and they keep bringing up the Marine, Paul, I can't think of his last name, and I'm listening to the narrative how, in my opinion, they're trying to, it's being blown out of proportion, and they're saying that a lot of people, I should say, are upset that Brittany Griner is home, and this other person who's been there, I think, for 4 years, and they keep saying he's a Marine. Why isn't he home? Why does she get to come home, and why is he still there? Part of what they're leaving out is, as they say, Marine, they don't tell you that he didn't have a very stellar career with the Marines, and he is there for spying. So big gap there in the narrative. Another narrative that's going on in the news is this T.J. Holmes and Amy Robach of ABC News, all over the news. Who cares what they're doing behind closed doors? But the thing is, I'm listening again to the narrative, and they're race is everything in America, and they're playing the complain that they're walking a thin line, so they say. They don't know what to do with the couple because if they let her come back and don't let him come back, then there's a big race issue because he's black and she's white. I'm telling you, our society is just a mess. But anyway, I brought those two things up because it made me, as I said, I was listening to how the stories are told and what the emphasis is on in the stories, on the facts of what. But it brought to mind this poem I wrote, of course, many years ago, and it's just called Media in Black and White. And so picture, if you will, two columns. One column is black, one column is white. And so I'm going to be reading from black to white. And I'll just, it's self-explanatory. But we need to pay attention to the narrative, because especially when it comes to black people, because it always changes. The lines are always moved. The rules are always switched around. And we get caught up in it. Anyway, this is Media in Black and White. Big lips. Voluptuous lips. Protesters. Chaos. Demonstrators. Drug addicts. Substance dependent, illiterate, learning disabled, gang, group, unwed, illegitimate, single parenthood, braids, militant style, unique, ethnic, rowdy, out of control, celebrating. Arrested was Pookie Smith. Mr. Charles S. Pennington III was brought in for questioning. Guilty. Innocent until proven otherwise. Black frats disrupted in Virginia. Spring break in Florida. Cause for gala celebrations and youthful rites of passage. Athletes, comedians, drug addicts, prostitutes, dancers, always shown on television. Doctors, lawyers, executives, and the rich, shown on television. Show the bottom of our barrel. Show the cream of their crop. That was called Media in Black and White. Oh, here I go with the flipping. Okay. This is from a little book that I made about, and it's called An Innocent Time. These are very brief little vignettes. So I'll just start with An Innocent Time. Okay, this is called Companies Coming. You know, when I was little, decades and decades ago, when company came to the house, we always had to get our baths, get our hair combed, make sure our dresses are neat and our socks and our ribbons and bows and look nice and presentable. And these are some of the, not commands, I don't want to say that, things that were said to make sure you were ready when company comes. Hands out your pocket. Get off the grass. Mess up them shoes, I'll beat your rump. Hush your mouth. Don't know what you're talking about. always listening to grown-ups talk. Go on and play. And don't get them clothes messed up, you hear? Because dinner's in a minute. And all them folks will be here. Now y'all best not be late. Or this will be a date you'll remember when you's 98. I ain't ate nothing. But for some reason, I've got a tummy ache. Glad company don't come every day. Okay. A child's happiness. And this is just a reminder that with three sisters, so four of us, and we had to, you know, take turns getting our hair done, and sometimes we would not fight, but we'd kind of try to pick out our ribbons before the other sister did, so you'd get your favorite color or your favorite width, because some of the ribbons were an inch wide and some were half an inch wide, so you had smaller bows. But anyway, a child's happiness. Bows and ribbons, ribbons and bows, blue, red, green, yellow, and gold adorn my hair, some large, some small, some skinny, some fat. When I twirl my head, looks like a rainbow in the sky. Okay. This short poem is called Growing Up. Titties, udders, nanny jugs. Big ones make the girls act smug, and boys start to act real crazy and want to tug at the girls' blouses so they can see how them things is housed. Okay. An innocent heart. All the grown-ups have to do to make the world right, to make it against the law to hate anybody or fight, or else bad people get a long, long date behind the jailhouse gate. And that's from a little booklet I made called An Innocent Time. I wish we were back in that innocent time. But jump rope rhyme. When's the last time you heard a jump rope rhyme? Children playing, singing in the sunshine. Put on your girdle, baby. 1, 2, 3. Dear God, where are the children? When's the last time you heard a jump rope rhyme of little Miss Sally doing fine, using bottle caps for tiddlywinks? She's got on pink. She's going to wink. Dear God, where are the children? Wake up, Black America. The handwriting's on the wall. Hear your children crying. It's help they're calling for. We've got to begin before it's too late, before the deterioration encompasses all into a tale of fear, death, and hate. When's the last time you heard a jump rope rhyme? Dear God, where are the children? Today all the children have their heads bowed looking at their cell phones and don't know how to communicate or play anymore. But, okay. Okay, fact or fantasy. Teacher, teacher, teach me the truth. I yearn to learn, to know, and to grow. Of course, dear student, you're less than and can never achieve. Sit still, be quiet. You may get a job in a factory. Fact or fantasy. Isn't it a horrible thought what children across America are and aren't being taught? A picture just came into my head when my mother and father came up to the school questioning my report card grades, and especially from one specific teacher. And I remember my father, he was a tall man, he was 6'4", and my mother was tall, both professional people. So this, we're in the principal's office and waiting for that teacher to get up there. And I'm telling you, they all turned tomato red when my father said he didn't understand the C's on my report card, and did C stand for colors. I'll never get that. To me, my father was a giant that day and many days since. All right, I'm going to do one more of this innocent time. Let me see. This is just called Why. Why is it that black and brown babies are born in hate's path and harm's way in the great U.S. of A? And this one, and then I'll go on to something else. This one is called For Future Generations, and it has a cuss word in it. I don't want to offend anybody, but is getting called radical, labeled militant bitch, even losing my life in this time and space, if it would help to remove the burden and sour, ugly taste of belonging to the black race so that my child could live head high with her black beauty, I see no other choice but to raise hell with my loudest voice over the stupidity of one race superior over another. It is my duty. Okay. Oh, and I just thought of another thing I need to say. Some time ago, I talked about getting a CD of my poetry, and I wasn't prepared, folks. I really was not prepared, and I'm still not prepared because my mind truly has a mind of its own nowadays, and it only takes in so much information, and that information has to go through a whole process nowadays in my head. So I am not good with technology. I am not good with I don't understand PayPal and all of that kind of crap. But I have CDs, and I also have some poems that I have put in book form, and I'll tell you what they are a little later. But I'm just going to say that if you are interested, you can text me. What is the number? 704-249-9857. And I will give you the information if you're interested. Okay, let me go back.
Just repeat that number again, Lucy.
Oh, okay. What did I say? Oh, 704-249-9857.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Now, let's see. Another pair of glasses. You know, and my not only does my mind have a mind of its own, my eyeballs change just about every day. I bought two pair of dollar store glasses of different, what do you call it, magnification, and neither one of them working right now. Let me see. This is from Gospel Truth. And
you say Gospel Truth?
Gospel Truth. Gospel
okay.
Truth. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Gospel Truth. And, okay.
Mhm. This is called "Are You a Christian?" Are you a Christian? In every moment of your life, do you take his name with you in the event of trauma or strife? Are you a Christian only in name? Does your body carry Jesus, or is it only in vain? Do your eyes look with love? Does your heart know peace? Do you share his joy, or is it all an empty noise? Are you a Christian from your fingertips to your toes? Are you a Christian? Jesus truly knows. Okay. Third page. Okay. This is called Now That I Believe. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the whole world could know the peace, the joy, the love, and his grace he can bestow? Nothing do you give up. Nothing do you have to pay. Jesus is yours for the asking. Stable and steadfast, he will stay. In the devil's hands, you're taught, nothing is ever free, that everything is bought. But, my friend, you will find Jesus can free your body and mind at a price you can afford, with a bonus of love, peace, and joy. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if the whole world could know the peace, the joy, the love, and his grace he can bestow. Okay, now And the next few I've done before, but this is just about people in the church. I'm not talking about the church, talking about the people. Okay. Sanctified youth. Now, Communion Sunday, usually first Sunday of the month with most churches, and some churches serve wine, and some churches serve grape juice and the little wafer. So most black churches are in an area that has become dilapidated because as society opened its doors for us to move out of the neighborhoods, so our churches are left there, and a lot of the area around it has been abandoned or deteriorating. And so this young man who he used to watch my mother and father bring the four of us to church every Sunday, and we'd walk by his house. He'd be out there on what we call the stoop. And, you know, he liked the taste of the wine. Okay, so this is about him. Called Sanctified Juice. Well, look over there. If it ain't Clara's boy, all spiffed up, he was just like a toy. Washed off that stinking liquor that kept him smelling like a mink. Ain't it kind of curious how he gets all dressed up and serious only on Communion Sundays? Okay. Let's see. Okay. God don't and me neither. And this is a story of a I actually ended up working with this lady. She was a teacher, but she was married to the associate pastor, and her husband married me and my husband, who was associate pastor. So, you know, usually when you get to church and before the sermon starts, it's usually like, you know, singing, a hymn is sung, and a quiet prayer that the pastor will preach the word, and not his word, but the words from the Bible. And also a very conservative environment back then. I'm talking about when I was young, so we're going back decades. And this is when you dress for church with hats and gloves for women and young girls and things like that. but we also were very conservative in our dress and conservative in the colors we wore. Like, we usually had on navy blue pleated skirts and white blouses, and all the ladies, it was like navy blue or gray or some neutral tone. And, of course, the men all in suits and ties. But the pastor's wife, now he's already down on the pulpit, right? He's already down there with the pastor and the deacon and so forth. Everybody is in place except for this lady. Think about it. Makes me laugh. But she would come down right after the hymn has been sung, right after the silent prayer has been said, and everyone is seated. This is when she would walk down the aisle. And the big deal about it is she wasn't conservative. She wore very floaty material. My mind is messing up. I can't think of what it was called. But anyway, and she wore yellows, you know, bright colors, yellows and pinks and so forth. And, of course, you know, her seat is in the first pew. Okay. So when she would appear, I noticed across the aisle, I noticed my mother and father. I noticed a lot of women looking at their husbands, either giving them a pinch in the arm or a little bump with their elbow to keep their eyes straight ahead. But she was a good-looking lady. She knew it, and she wore these bright colors. So she really, okay, God don't and me neither. She sashayed down the aisle, late as she could be. The sermon was already started. But what'd she care? She wanted everyone to see. Them hips of hers was talking. Had the Christian men's lips smacking and eyes balking. I pinched my man and told him, God don't like ugly. And God don't play. And Lord knows, and so should you, that neither do I. Amen. I'm through. Okay. okay, this is called Church Scene. Lordy, will you look at Miss Betsy up there in them front pew seats? She just a-shouting, amening, and falling out. Not a moment ago out on the steps of the church, she was a-cussing and a-fussing and a-laying her husband out. Okay. Let's see, okay. Okay. Oh, oh, I haven't read this one. Let me see. This is called 60s Flashback. I wish we were in the 60s. I do. Because I
those were the good old days.
We as a people, we loved one another. And
we
got
sure
respect,
did.
You know.
That's
you
right.
know. And now it's just a mess, but okay. 60s Flashback. You call me Negro. Wait a minute, let me give you the background for this poem. This is when, back then, you know, we wore our afros and everything, and proud of them. And then there was a time period where a younger generation was doing it. And in my mind, in my eyesight, they didn't have enough respect because their afro, it would have lint in it. Or they'd have a pick stuck in it and walk around like that. So anyway, it was a younger generation that I was observing, and it gave me this 60s flashback, and that's what I was writing about, okay? You call me Negro. You, who've only let your hair go unstraightened. you call me Negro. You who walk around with a 5-inch pick in your lint-filled hair. You call me Negro. You who wear only the sweat of laziness from sitting in the sun, accomplishing little by days done. You call me Negro as a degrading label. You who hollers, black is where is that? Black is heavy. I'm black and proud. Can you dig it? Dig on this black man. Label, be it Tom, darky, nigger, Negro, or black. Because of us, black is where is that? With our emotions drained and our backs bent, we Negroes are the reason you can call yourself black and proud. That made me mad all over again. Let's see. Okay. This is a short one. Universality. Okay. Our universality lies in our commonality of being last man on the totem pole. Okay, these are my little political poems. This is, let me see, what is this? This is called Don't You Be No Fool. Don't be no fool and believe that the brother on the corner, brown bagged bottle in hand, ain't worth spit. It's the game of the man to turn brother against brother, child against mother. Divide and conquer is the plan. They will stand on our backs forever unless we are clever enough to extend a helping hand. And I don't care what nobody says, if we get to the unity of us as a people, a unity and respect for each other, then others will have respect for us. Let's see. Okay. So why is chocolate always the favorite flavor of the month? You say the bad guys wear black hats and never, not ever let a black cat cross your path. That things sold illegally are called black market. And your brother is the black sheep in your family. When Wall Street crashed, you said it was a black day for the stock market. In fact, you renamed the whole month black. And always in the same breath that the word is spoken, the word white is spoken, it is accompanied by the perceptions of pure and right. And when you say the word black, you attach to it the words and images of fear, ignorance, poverty, and hate. So tell me, why do you buy 10 tons of suntan oil to get as black as me? Pierce your ears with several holes. Perm your hair to imitate my curls. Steal our soulful handshakes. Award white singers who sound black. While your woman describes her ideal man as tall, dark, and handsome. As she adopts the hairstyles of braids, plaits, and cornrows that you call chic and ethnic on her and militant and extreme on me, all the while winking and blinking your blue eyes at me as your tongue moistens your weak, thin lips. So tell me, why is chocolate always the favorite flavor of the month? Okay. Let's see. Until freedom is complete. I think I was... I don't even know. it was either Washington, D.C., or it might have been New York. I don't know. Probably New York. I think it was Dr. Asa Hilliard. Very prominent black historian, and he had a lecture called Free Your Mind, and that stuck with me, and so I just, this is what it's called, Until Freedom is Complete. It's very simple, but I think powerful. Again, written decades ago, but it's relevant today, so that, I mean, we really got to get our stuff together, but okay, here we go. We've got to free our minds and return to the source of our African beginnings and African thought. Repeat. We've got to free our minds and return to the source of our African beginnings and African thought. Repeat. We've got to free our minds and return to the source of our African beginnings and African thought. Repeat until freedom is complete.
Okay.
This goes to Tom Scott, Senator Tom Scott, Supreme Court Justice. What's that man's name? Clarence Thomas. And so many others who make it hard for they make it hard for their own race because they don't like themselves. But anyway, this is called Second Nature. I just thought of them when I looked at this poem. It's called Second Nature. We've got bowing, scraping, and compromising down to such a fine science. We think we're supposed to act like that, almost natural. Anybody out there remember Stephen Fetcher?
Oh, yeah, seeing the clips and the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. I read his some of his bio years ago. He made a lot of money. I think they said yes. He drove around in a Cadillac. I need to write a poem about Cadillac, because you know that's a thing in the community. But anyway, his portrayal was what a lot of people still think that's what we are. That's, you know, scratching our head and bowing our head and all that stuff. Okay, I see. Okay. I'm sorry, you all. Okay. I think I'm going to stop with my little political stuff. And I'm going to let me grab this. All right. This is one of the poems that is in booklet form, and it's called Saps Arising. I've read it before, but let me see. And it's about a young boy going into puberty and the changes he goes through. Little bro started taking more than his usual once a week Saturday night bath. And daddy's cologne mysteriously began to evaporate. And his good leather belt seems to have disappeared. Little bro's jeans now had to have a razor sharp crease. His tennis shoes gave way to brown leather loafers. And his sweatshirts that he swore never needed washing changed to handsome button-down shirts. and all night, every night basketball games came to a halt. Says he doesn't like to press fire anymore. And nails black with Lord knows what are now carefully manicured. I said, Mama, what's going on with that boy? And she just laughed and mumbled and said, the sap's arising. Old honey boy is just smelling himself, sniffing the wind and smelling himself. Okay. That's available in booklet form. Okay. Let me grab it. This one, I know I did this last week, but I'm going to do it again. You know, there were two boys arrested. I shouldn't even start telling these stories because I can't remember the whole story of nothing. But this is recent. Two boys, 13 and 14, killed somebody. I just don't. Black apocalypse. Children, excuse me, children dying, black brains frying, off the dope put in the veins, men abandoning their seeds and streets turning bloodstained. Little girls get their menses before they can even spell their name and get caught with spotted panties because they don't understand why or what, and nobody has the time to explain. Daddy's gone, and Mama's too busy trying to make a dollar out of a dime. And so the children give birth to babies that become the next lost generation, growing like weeds, without care or direction, waiting to be Kimlawned to death. And in this booklet, I have a statement that I put. We must call the quilt makers to gather patches of love, praise, support, trust, uplift, respect, kisses and hugs to make blankets to wrap our children in so that they have safe places to grow and can enjoy a childhood too often interrupted by a world that does not see their beauty. Okay, that's, let me see. We did Saps Rising, Black Apocalypse. Here's the other book. Sorry, folks. Now this one. This one, and I've read it many times to you all, this is Rites of Passage. This was for 50th anniversary of graduating from Livingstone College, 1965 to 1969. And it's just, remembering our recreational activities, which were few. We had sports, but for the whole mingling of the young ladies and gentlemen at Livingstone, we looked forward to a dance that was held. I don't even know if I have it right. Was it Friday or Saturday? But I wrote Saturday. But anyway, and it was held in the Trent Gym. Saturday night at Golden Hall. Oh, I should before I do that. Livingstone was very protective of its students, and there were definite lines of division between females and males. We couldn't hold hands walking across campus. We had those cement benches under the trees, the maples and the oaks, and if a young man sat straddle leg across the bench, Lord have mercy, the dean of women, she didn't miss nothing looking out her window. But there were codes for dress codes for your behavior. And so, anyway, okay, let's go to Saturday night. Saturday night at Gohler Hall, from floor to floor and to the top of every ceiling, sulfur 8 and tar fumes float throughout the building, with hot plates burning red hot and straightening combs smoking, telling the secret of short hair growing long and silky. Tops of Dixie peach pomade heat on the hot plate to melt the grease into oil. Hair being pulled to the front to hide a face scarred with beauty burns from a hot comb, as ladies of Livingstone pressed hair and dressed to impress, to hopefully attract the gentlemen tonight. Short and tall girls, petite and voluptuous girls, half naked, half clad, bird baths and showers fully occupied, water turning freezing cold, skins of black, brown, and gold, cinnamon, reds, mocha chocolate, and butterscotch. The ritual was in full swing, getting ready for the dance in the Trent Gym, when the lights on the second floor East Hall started blinking in every room, and a chorus of voices reaches a crescendo, praying, "God, don't let the electricity go out until I finish busting those naps in the kitchen." The ladies were timid souls entering Trent Gym, for in order to go into the dance, there were several gauntlets to pass. The first was the inspection by the fellows on campus who had arrived early just to line up on either side of the entrance to give testosterone-filled catcalls of approval or disapproval. That took courage to pass through. The second gauntlet was more terrifying, as the bleachers in the gym were filled with some of our chaperones, our professors, and the dean of women, who looked upon you as their charge and became surrogate parents. And my, how they took that role seriously. This was a Christian church school with high moral standards, and they kept a tight rein on youthful hormones and youthful transgressions all week long, as evidenced by Vespers every Wednesday evening, required Bible study class, and church services in their auditorium. Then there were the Coleman rules of conduct for each student. No hand-holding. Ladies couldn't wear pants. Gentlemen not allowed to sit straddle leg on the benches under thy maples and oaks. Sign in and sign out wherever you go. Get permission to ride in a car. Dorm curfews, and let's not forget the ton of saltpeter floating in the drinks with each meal. On to the dance at Trent Gym. As the ladies entered the dance, one last check of the outfits worn. Not too short, not too tight, girdle holding the jiggle still, and definitely no cleavage showing. They were ever mindful of how they danced. No uncultivated gyrations of the hips, and not too close to your partner, and not too wild, while secretly praying our chaperones would tire before too long and leave before the last dance, which was always a slow, slow dance, like to the sounds of Percy Sledge singing "When a Man Loves a Woman." When our chaperones did retire, and for certain had exited the building, the dance turned up a notch as the pounding dance steps released the dust from between the wood planks of the floor and covered our shoes, and continued to rise and create a halo of dust above our heads. If you were dancing on the last record, it usually meant that you would be escorted back to the dorm, where amid the lush hedges in front of Gohler Hall, you would create a room of privacy, as the evening kiss goodnight would gently press you up against the hedges, and the branches with their leafy tips would wrap around you and your man, and you become camouflage, incognito, wearing leaves in your hair and cloaked in the color green, secluded in your very own kissing booth, oblivious to all around you, never mind that just inches away to your left and to your right were other couples under cover of the ivy and the oaks, never mind that the sisters, without a mister, were hanging out the dorm windows overhead, watching, signifying, masking their jealousy under the pretense of laughter. It's minutes before curfew. Figure appears under the porch lights at the entry to Gola Hall. Mrs. Alcestes Coleman. Dean of Women steps out and without a word looks to her left and looks to her right and lips unlock and hands unclasp and drop to their sides and personal spaces returned as the hedges empty out. Mrs. Coleman pruned and cleared those hedges like a professional landscaper. The ladies head to their dorm rooms to grab their pillows tight, reliving the goodnight kiss. The gentlemen head over to Frankie's Chicken Shack for some barbecue-dipped chicken and share bragging rights. It's curfew time. Got to get ready for church in the morning. Okay. That's Rites of Passage. Okay, so we got Rites of Passage, Black Apocalypse, Saps Arising, and what is this one? Okay, and this one. This one is Rise, Sally, Rise, also in booklet form. Oh, my goodness. What time is it? Let me see. I can't see the clock.
7:51. It's probably 7:52. I think my still slow.
Okay. Okay. That's just enough time to get this one done. And I wanted to mention another book that may be interested in getting at the library or bookstore. Okay. This is about our burdens, our strengths, our weaknesses, called Rise, Sally, Rise. Rise, Sally, Rise. Wipe your weeping eyes. Put your hands on your hips. Let your backbone slip. Turn to the east and turn to the west and turn to the one that you love the best. Life giver, builder of a nation, nurturer of a people, preserver of a history, transmitter of a culture, bridge over troubled waters. Black woman says it all. Black woman stands tall. Rise, Sally, rise. Survivor of spirit, death, and rape, and the destruction of her family, victimized by race, class, and gender. Her beauty denied and distorted into a midnight black nappy head, liver lip, ham hock hipped and cornbread thighs mammy, whose breast resembles the mammary glands and udders of a cow. Rise, Sally, rise. Her femininity called into question. Wench, bitch, whore, half man, never called lady, even though the title she wears is queen. Mammy, first name, Sapphire, Jezebel, never called her God-given name. Black woman calls upon her sisters for affirmation and a safe haven where she can be disarmed and not threatened. Sisters provide a place of love, connection, spirituality, and uplift. Rise, Sally, rise. Some would say you are a contradiction. Strong in mind and spirit, gentle, sassy, powerful, protective, disciplined, enterprising, a warrior woman wrapped in sweet brown sugar, molasses and caramel, nurturing and loving, soft and warm, and in that sweet, easy manner, you rock your child to sleep with. Rise, Sally, rise. Wipe your weeping eyes. Put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip. turn to the east and turn to the west and turn to the one that you love the best, ensuring the ties that bind us together, instilling the spirit until day is done. Black woman says it all. Black woman stands tall. Rise, Sally. Rise. Okay. So that's Rise, Sally, Rise, Black Apocalypse, Paps of Rising, and it, well, that's it. Oh, and Rites of Passage, Livingstone College. I wanted to mention another book of some great poetry, and that's the complete, it's called The Complete Collected Poems of Maya Angelou, or Angelou, however you want to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And let me see what the, I'm looking for the copyright date on this thing. Copyright. Okay, it came out in 1994 by Maya Angelou. It's her complete, this says The Complete Collected Poems of Maya Angelou. So that's a nice book to have in your library. Mm. Okay. Now, what else do I need to say? Except thank you all for, you know, listening. It means a lot that somebody wants to hear what I'm saying.
Oh, you do a good job. A beautiful poem.
I appreciate that.
And how often do we get to hear from such a talented person reading her own?
I appreciate hearing it.
Thank you.
That's right, Odessa.
Oh, we got 90 seconds. I did much better, I think. I didn't cough a lot or anything. I didn't turn too many pages. You're breaking up. What'd you say?
I think I did the coughing tonight.
Oh.
I was trying to mask it, but it kept coming out.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell people what to do, but this virus is going around very serious, folks, so take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I do have something to say. The police told me, well, a policeman, that if I can park in a parking slot at the malls and stuff like that, park so your car is facing out. Why? For the crazy people that may be in between cars and stuff trying to snatch your purse or whatever, that way you don't have to walk between cars. Your car door will be right at the front. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just a crazy world we live in. Okay, I thank you all for tuning in.
Good night.
Thank you. You do a good job. Always.
Okay. All righty. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.